Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
For the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Lamar Jackson chased by Chanel and Carl Loftus to Likely downfield. Isaiah Likely with a block down the sideline. Likely inside the five to the end zone. Touchdown Baltimore.
Seemed like only yesterday, but that was week one. Thursday night, Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs, Mike Tirico, NBC on the call. Lamar Jackson, touchdown pass to Isaiah Likely. Ravens, unfortunately, came up short in that game. Likely's foot was out of bounds on that final play. But Lamar Jackson had a brilliant 2024 season. Probably should have been an MVP season. At the very least, it was a first-team All-Pro season, which he's done three times now in his soon-to-be Hall of Fame career. Still chasing that Super Bowl ring, of course. But Lamar Jackson this year, Vinny, the statistics speak for themselves. This guy was off the charts.
Yeah, Bob. I mean, he was 316 of 474. So basically 67% completion for 4,172 yards. Averaged 8.8. per, which is ridiculous. 245 yards a game. So I think he was seventh. Yeah, seventh in passing. 41 touchdowns, four interceptions, was sacked 23 times. Had a quarterback rating of 119.6.
Fifth highest of all time.
Yeah. So I mean, Bob, how do you say have a better year than that one? Throwing the football. The only thing that I could see is maybe he throws for more yards. I mean, but the average, 8.8, that's crazy. And I don't know that 41-4, can you do that? That would be...
And even, look, if we really want to nitpick, even the four picks were debatable.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, there was snatching hands.
Yeah.
So, well, like he was just Mahomes in it. From the Super Bowl. I mean, that was an incredible... And he rushed for over 900 yards, too.
Yeah, and I said at the beginning of the year, I thought Lamar would rush for... I thought it was going to be like 700 and some, just because I didn't... because Henry was going to rush a lot. But, you know, with how they were playing Henry on the zone read stuff, they were giving Lamar a lot of opportunities to run with the football, but... Yeah, Lamar, I mean, you know, and it was a joke that he didn't win the MVP, but I would like to ask, you know, would be next time I see Todd Monken, you know, Todd, how does Lamar improve? I may text Todd that, you know, statistically, where can Lamar improve statistically from what he did this past year? Because it's all like crazy numbers. That's what it is.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's go back to last year. where he did win the most valuable player. 67.2 completion percentage, 3,600 yards. Keep in mind, he did not play in the finale because they already clinched. 24 touchdowns, 7 picks. Quarterback rating 102.7. Rushed for 821 yards, led the team, and rushed for 5 TDs. If he duplicates that statistical achievement, how far did the Ravens dip? Does he need to be this year's Lamar?
What was the average per catch, Bob?
8 points, or 8.0.
Okay.
So almost a yard less.
Yeah. If they stay healthy, if the receivers stay healthy, I think his numbers will be a lot better than last, not this past, the year before,
right,
when you, what you're talking about. 23 touchdowns, I think he blows that away. You know, he'll be up into the, you know, upper 30s, I would think. The 4 interceptions, that would be nice again. But I just think that a lot of, like, Bateman's ready for a big jump. Okay, so if he makes a big jump, then usually he has explosive plays, then that even helps Lamar. What they could do is, to help Lamar even more, is even get better in the yak yard category. You know, where he throws it short and boom, you know, you're getting a ton of yak yards, because Zay had 463 and Justice Hill had 433. Bateman needs more than 184 yak yards because he's got that ability to do that. And the other guy, Bob, likely 256, he needs to be around 400.
Is it too much of an ask to have Lamar duplicate what he did this year? Where statistically, he pretty much blew away everything. He even rushed for more yards this year than he did last year. Blew it away, but won the MVP. We got to have a middle ground, or because if you look at last year's stats, I don't know if they're winning 13, 14 games unless Derrick Henry's doing what he did this year, too. You know?
Well, yeah.
Not saying he can't do it.
Yeah. Let's just say that completion percentage, Bob, he's still, because the Ravens throwing the football, Bob, pass attempts, they're second least in the league throwing the football. So, man, I think the touchdowns may drop some and the interceptions may go up a little. Quarterback rating, you know, if he has a quarterback rating of 110, you know, that's still pretty damn good. You know, I mean, we're talking like crazy, you know, MVP number every year.
Set the bar even higher than it already was set. Now, Derrick Henry this year, 1,921 yards, 16 touchdowns. Lamar did lose 4 fumbles, though, right?
Yes, he did.
So maybe tighten up on that one a little bit. But Derrick Henry, I mean, do you expect that at 31 years old? I mean,
takes care of his body extremely well.
1,500 is more realistic.
Average 5.9. He had 19 plays over, 19 carries over 20 yards. So, I mean, he had a lot of big, big plays. He only lost 1 fumble against the Steelers. I mean, Bob, I think we'd take 1,500.
In a heartbeat.
Just because I think Justice Hill, I think, is going to be better. He rushed for 228. Keaton Mitchell rushed for 30. Keaton Mitchell, you know, he could be a 300-yard rusher, too, if he's got his, if he's back to the Keaton Mitchell that we saw, the explosive guy and stuff. And because the thing that you can do with Keaton Mitchell, too, Bob, is I would think that the offensive coaches, they may put Keaton Mitchell in the slot and do some things with him to, you know, utilize his athleticism and speed and those things.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, News from the Nest. Nolan McGraw, get in here. Lamar this year, Derrick Henry this year. Realistic to expect they even come close to duplicating these numbers, or is it going to be more? Because Derrick Henry in 2023 for the Titans, he rushed for what? Below 1,200 yards? He was still good. Around 4 yards a carry. I mean, you can't have a significant drop off from him, or Lamar's going to have to do Superman level stuff unless Keaton Mitchell averages 8 yards a carry like he did as a rookie here.
Right, but when we talk all year about what Lamar was doing was historic and how he was breaking this record here and the next week setting another mark over there. I mean, it's he's not going to one-up that across the board. Maybe one stat category he'll be better here and there, but to expect him to get full-scale better across the board, no, it's unfair. I mean, there's only so much more room historically to grow.
Even duplicating, though, can that be possible? The four picks, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, it's possible.
Yeah.
But, I guess the better point would be he doesn't have to be better than this year for them to win a Super Bowl or even match this year for them to win a Super Bowl. He has to be good. He has to be elite. But this thought process that he's got to get better and better and better every year, that's not the case.
5880-1057 The Fan. We got plenty more offensive guys to talk about, and we will when we get to the 1 o'clock hour NFL lunch. We're going to look at the Ravens' opponents, as we talked about with Brian here. Jets are on the schedule. Win 1-0. We'll talk about all of that. More Orioles pitchers and catchers tomorrow. Your anticipation level for the Orioles not only getting to the playoffs, but actually winning a game, maybe even a series for the first time since 2014. Terps are in Nebraska on Thursday night. A game you can hear on the Fan. We'll talk some college hoops with Jerry Palm from CBSSports.com at 12:30. But when we come back, count a little dough by yourself.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Turn it up Tuesday, cranking it up to 12. You're on the phones, we'll get you. So hang tight. Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. Talk some bracketology with him. Where's he at? Maryland, they're in it. But where? Stay tuned for that. A lot going on in the world of sports. Football's over, but the combine's in a couple of weeks. Off seasons have obviously begun. Spring training starts tomorrow. So there's plenty to get to. Right now, let's count some money. By yourself.
All right. The Dow is up 19. The S&P's down 11. NASDAQ's down 106. DraftKings down 26 cents. Under Armour's down 11 cents to 656.
All right, I'm starting in the NBA today, where there were rumors leading up to last week's trade deadline about Kevin Durant potentially being on the move, and may have came as a bit of a surprise for some fans, even came as a surprise to him when there was a proposal to send him back to Golden State. He shot it down, but now, according to Brian Windhorst, says that Durant was very frustrated by that, the fact that him and his camp were not in the loop until sort of the end of January when this stuff kind of came across their radar. In fact, according to him, it seemed like the initial plan was to not sell, but to bring in another piece to pair with him and Devin Booker and try to get the Suns where they need to be. Buy or sell, Bob, between this, maybe another early playoff exit, Durant will be on the move this offseason.
I'll buy it. And look, even Anthony Edwards said after Doncic got traded, said if he can get traded, everybody's up for grabs. I mean, no one's protected. And let's not forget, too, that Kevin Durant's 36 years old. He got drafted by the Seattle Supersonics. That's how long he's been in the NBA. And he's still a premier player, one of the great scorers in the history of the game. But he's not untouchable. See, he thought they were going to bring in Jimmy Butler to pair up with him and Devin Booker. But Bradley Beal wouldn't waive the no-trade clause, so they were kind of stuck together. So it is what it is. But, yeah, him on the move, I wouldn't be surprised. By the way, Golden State 2-0 with Jimmy Butler.
Over to the NFL, Aaron Rodgers will not be back with the Jets next year. I guess still unknown if he even wants to keep playing. He'll probably drag that decision out very long, as he always does. But right now, the betting favorite to land him in free agency would be the Pittsburgh Steelers, followed closely by the Raiders, but focusing more so on Pittsburgh here. They just went with a stopgap quarterback this past year in Russell Wilson, and while that was good enough to make the playoffs, not good enough for them to want to keep him long term. Also, no real interest in them bringing back Justin Fields, so they're not going to draft one. They're not in really position to draft an immediate starter, so it sounds like it's got to be stopgap again. Buy or sell, Vinny, despite his age and a shaky recent track record, Rodgers would produce better results for Pittsburgh than Wilson did.
I'll buy that. And I think, you know what, if he went to Pittsburgh, because Arthur wants to run the ball, the offensive coordinator, they want to run the ball, which I would think would help a 41-year-old quarterback running the football and ask less of him. And I could see them, well, you got to draft one somewhere. You know, if there's a guy they like, you know, in the 20s where they're picking or in the second round, and then have Aaron Rodgers there to train the guy for a year or learn, watch, let the guy watch and learn. I don't think that would be a bad thing.
Are they familiar with the fact that he's an ayahuasca enthusiast, Aaron Rodgers?
Well, he'll tell you about it, I'm sure. The whole documentary about it. Anyway, we'll go over to baseball here, where the Astros, they remain fully committed to bringing back Alex Bregman. They've even increased their most recent offer as spring training looms this week. His return, it might sound like a good move for continuity's sake, but it seems like it could actually create some infield shuffling if he is back in the mix at third. You remember earlier this offseason, Houston acquired Isak Paredes in that trade. He has experience all over the infield. Christian Walker was picked up to hold down first base. So hypothetically, if Bregman's back, he's at third. Paredes, they say he would move to second, which means that longtime staple Jose Altuve, well, they have kind of a idea of putting him in left field right now, as crazy as that sounds. Buy or sell, Bob, a Bregman return would actually create more problems than solutions.
I'm buying it, and based on what MLB Network's showing today, it's a moot point because it's three teams to sign him, and the Astros weren't one of them. It was the Red Sox, Cubbies, and I apologize. I can't remember the other one. I mean, what do you want from me? Memory and stuff here on the radio, but it wasn't Houston. So he's going to move on from the Astros, and how quickly they forget. But they've overcome losses before and remain contenders. But in theory, if he sticks around, yeah, it creates problems. Paredes, I remember him being a pain in the ass to the Orioles when he was in Tampa. And his name's spelled Isaac, but it's called Esoc. What do you expect?
I was just creating problems everywhere.
Yeah, be like me, say my name's Bob, pronouncing something stupid for B-O-B, like Bob.
Well, we'll go over back to the NFL, rather.
Yes.
The elation that comes from winning the Super Bowl usually leads to some good quotes from players as the confetti rains down. And for Saquon Barkley, finally reaching the mountaintop, not just a chance to celebrate, a chance to look to next year already. And he said, you know, after taking down one dynasty in Kansas City, his direct quote, "Why not start a dynasty of our own right now?" No surprise, some sports books have Philly as an early favorite to win next year's Super Bowl, at the very least, the best odds in the NFC. Repeating, it's as hard as it gets in professional sports. There's going to be roster changes, coaching departures. Kellen Moore, he's on his way to New Orleans. But buy or sell, Vinny, the Eagles are built to have sustained dynasty-like success.
I'll buy that. You know, I mean, they got a quarterback and they've got pieces there. So I could buy that. The only thing is Washington's going to be much better, so it'll be much more competitive in their division.
And we'll close things out here by circling back to a topic earlier in the show. Last week, Mike Woodson announced that this is going to be his final year coaching at Indiana. The calls for his firing, they were growing louder every single week. So now you get a move that's beneficial for both sides. He gets out, but he doesn't have to quit on his team or get fired midseason, still coach out the string. Who takes over that historic program? Well, one fellow Big Ten coach has received attention, talking about Michigan's Dusty May, mainly because, well, he's an Indiana graduate. And he addressed the speculation a few days ago, called it flattering, but shot it down in the long run, kind of what you would expect. The Wolverines are in the midst of a great season themselves, and it is just his first year at Michigan. Buy or sell, Bob, no chance May would jump ship for sentimental reasons.
Selling that. Money will talk, history talks, Indiana guy, basketball guy. You know, he bleeds the, it's crimson and cream, or cream and crimson, whatever it was. It used to be red and white back in the day. But, right price, right time. You bounce after 1 year, be frustrating for Michigan fans. It would certainly add fuel to that rivalry, but nothing surprises in this day and age. I saw Greg Doyle, I believe it was, who writes for the Indy Star, one of the Indiana papers, thinks they should make a full court press, pun intended, on Buzz Williams at Texas A&M. Mm. Buzz Williams replaced Tom Crean because Tom Crean went to Indiana. He got condiffed. That Buzz Williams left Marquette to go to Va Tech. Now he's at Texas A&M, but they need a high. They tried the Archie Miller route, did not work there. Calvin Sampson was there, but you know he got in some trouble. Now got Houston as one of the top programs, college basketball. They need a difference-making, resonating guy. And Mike Woodson, one of the great players in the history of the program, his coaching bones were more at the NBA level.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They need a splash, and Ole Miss would certainly be a splash. So I wouldn't rule anything out, Nolan, in a long-winded way of answering your question. We'll come back, talk about that subject and more with Jerry Palm from CBSSports.com. Take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Get to Nolan's Funhouse because we couldn't get to it last hour. NFL lunch, back to the Ravens. Offensive stars, can they duplicate what they did last year? We've already talked about Lamar. We've already talked about Derrick Henry. Realistic or no to duplicate? It's a tall ask, no doubt. Terps on Thursday at Nebraska. Big game for both teams. Nebraska trying to get into that NCAA fun. Terps are in it. How much more can they level up? Let's talk about that more. Pardon me, CBSSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Jerry Palm. Jerry, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in Baltimore again. How you feeling?
All right. How are you?
Hanging in there, man. And we were just talking about IU and their dilemma with the coaching situation there, Mike Woodson, and all the deplorable behavior from fans towards him and his family, which is unacceptable. I think anyone with common sense knows that. But it's an historic program. He was part of that history as a player, as we've talked about way back when. Now, as he moves into the next phase of his life, they need a big name. Dusty May, he was brought up now at Michigan. How do you see this all unfolding? It's a premier job. They're a blue blood program historically, but are they still? Is that sleeping giant still very much alive in Bloomington?
Well, that's what I was about to say, is they're historically relevant, but it's almost ancient history anymore. You know, that's, I mean, since Knight, retired, left the program, you know, they've had good coaches. You know, do you know the last coach to take them to the Final Four?
Mike Davis.
Yeah, the year after, right? And, Maryland was in that one, I believe.
Maryland beat them in the championship game, as a matter of fact.
Yes. So, you know, so they haven't been back since, but they've had decent coaches. Like Tom Crean did a, you know, pretty decent job, and Archie Miller, not so much. But, you know, he's been a successful coach, just not there. You know, so they've hired guys that you would expect to succeed. The problem is the expectations may not be realistic. You know, everybody down there is still living in the past. And, you know, it's not that way anymore. I mean, things are different. Now, IU's got the money to compete, but, you know, the expectations are that we're going to win this thing every year. That's what, you know, and it's, they haven't even been to a final. Well, they've been to that Final Four, but then, you know, their last championship was in the 80s. So, you know, but everybody thinks, you know, that's what we are. It hasn't been what they've been for a long time.
Now, for Maryland, who won that title in 2002, they've only been to two Sweet 16s themselves since 2002, and one of them was 2003, and then 9 years ago with that ill-fated Diamond Stone, team there with Mark Turgeon. Here they are. You have them as an 8 seed, Jerry, correct me if I'm wrong, in your latest bracketology in the East, where Tennessee would be looming in the next round. Got the win against Rutgers. Yes, Ace Bailey had the flu. Didn't play in the second half. Derek Queen went bananas in that ball game. So how's Maryland situated? Tough game in Nebraska coming up Thursday, but most of their tough games moving forward are going to be here in College Park. So upside seed-wise for Maryland could be what if they play things out the way Willard hopes they will?
Yeah, I mean, the upside probably depends on whether or not they beat Michigan State, but even still, the conference tournament matters, and we don't know anything about that yet. So, you know, I think that, you know, they could get into the top 25 easy, you know, and maybe even a 5 or possibly a 4. I mean, if they really go nuts, but, you know, a realistic upside is probably not too far north of where they are now, maybe a 5 or a 6.
Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, joining us here, Vinny at 81.057 The Fan, talking college basketball as we're coming up on the mid-February here. And you mentioned the rankings. And if you look at both the AP and the coaches, Paul, you would think it's the football rankings with Auburn, Alabama, and Florida, and Tennessee, and all this craziness going on here. Texas A&M is in the top 10, and that SEC's, Kentucky's lineage is a blue blood for sure, college basketball-wise, but Auburn, Alabama, I mean, Rick Barnes has been to Final Fours before. How surprised are you that they've been this powerful this year with the other teams, certainly capable, Florida, of doing some serious damage this season?
Yeah, I just did a bracket with 14 SEC teams that are out of 16. Now, realistically, for the end of the season, that's not going to happen. It's going to be closer to 11 when they get done beating each other up. And, you know, of those 14, three of them were the last three teams in the bracket. So, but it's been, you know, just incredible. I mean, they've got, you know, this is a league that's got money. And they went out and they've hired good coaches, and those coaches are leading these, you know, successful teams. Bruce Pearl at Auburn has been successful. Nate Oates is doing a great job at Alabama. You know, Barnes at Tennessee. You know, these coaches, you know, have been around. They know how to win. If not national championships, they certainly just know how to win. So, you know, we'll see what they do once they get to the tournament. But in my bracket, five of the top six teams are SEC teams. And then the other one is Duke, of course, and then Purdue's number seven. So, you know, that's it's complete dominance. But again, a month from now, it seems unlikely that it's that many teams in the top, say, eight. But we'll see. They have to play each other some more. And when you get into these big conferences now, you're not playing everybody as much. You know, it used to be you could count on people weeding out, but now if you're only playing somebody once and you don't see them in the conference tournament, you're not maybe doing as much weeding as you used to.
You talk about the SEC and the money. I'm sure the NIL money, just like in football, is huge. And look at, like, Ohio State. Like, how does the SEC money compare to the Big Ten? Like, in football, Ohio State spent $20 million on their players, you know, to win a national championship.
Yeah, well, Big Ten's got plenty of money as well. So those two leagues are the richest, and then it's a little bit of a step down to the Big 12 and the ACC, which is why the SEC and the Big Ten are running things now, because they have all the money, or most of the money. And that's but it's showing up in football. It's showing up in basketball. You know, the money hasn't always been spent wisely, but they have it. So, and the SEC is having a remarkable basketball season, and that's certainly part of the reason why.
All right, last thing for you, Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. Purdue at Michigan tonight, big game in the Big Ten. Boilermakers at the Wolverines. Michigan got big seven-footers. Purdue just every year come out there solid, spectacular in some areas. Point guard in particular this season. How do you see tonight's ball game between those two ranked teams?
Yeah, when Michigan played at Purdue a couple of weeks ago, they really kind of got embarrassed. They were never in that game. And now, you know, they just got back from Indiana where they had that game in hand kind of in the first half, and it got away from them. Purdue's not going to zone them because, Indiana, you know, that's what Indiana did, and it kind of threw them off. And Purdue, I don't think, has played a possession of zone in years. But Purdue's been solid all season long. In fact, maybe not spectacular, but they're solid every time out. So Purdue's got to go into Michigan and expect they're going to try to punch them in the face early. And if Purdue can withstand that, then they can hang around and maybe win. Michigan, I haven't seen a line. I assume they're favored and probably should be. But if Purdue's going to win the Big Ten again this year, games like this are important to win.
Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. Jerry, appreciate your time as always. Let's see, Michigan -2.5. So there you go. You called that one correctly. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
There's Jerry Palm, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, reset for you, get to the Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, NFL Lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Talk more about the Ravens offense. Spectacular performances in 24. Who duplicates in 25? And who may not have had the biggest year statistically is really looking to a bust-out season. For 2025, draft order is set. So we know the Ravens are picking 27. Unfortunately, we've known that for almost a month since they lost to Buffalo. But we'll get into all of that and more. You want to talk about the Orioles pitchers and catchers tomorrow. The Terps, 8 seed, too low, according to Jerry Palm. Joe Lenardi's got him as a number 6 seed. So we'll see what's going on there. Rick Barnes, a former Gary Williams assistant, Tennessee, number 1 in the East, according to Jerry. And if Maryland gets by St. Mary's, then they would take on the Volunteers, going back to 1980 when Maryland and Albert King beat Reggie Johnson and the Volunteers at the old Greensboro Coliseum. Greensboro. Let's bring in Nolan McGraw. Nolan, what's up?
I'm feeling good. I almost want to hitch a ride down to Sarasota, get away from the snow. Plus the Orioles. Always excited about the Orioles.
Correct.
But I will say this. Tomorrow, I'm bracing myself right now. Whether Elias is talking tomorrow or Thursday, for that matter, I'm bracing for impact. Because you know it's coming. The injury news dump. He always waits until the first day of spring training to put that out there in the air. I don't blame him for that, but it's become almost an unfortunate annual tradition. My problem would be if we hear something like last year. Multiple pitchers are either not going to be ready for the start of the year or even requiring a slow ramp up in spring training that where they're not going to be fully stretched out by opening day, that would bother me. And a lot of people have already been pretty angry as it is with their moves or lack thereof. But if they knew that they were going to be shorthanded, or again, even if somebody wasn't going to be quite ready for opening day, and they didn't make a move to add depth, that would be what bothers me. And they kind of did it last year. They thought they could get away with it. You had a couple guys, you know, that, again, were going to be a slow ramp up. The John Means of the world, Tyler Wells. And they didn't hedge on that and try to add more depth.
Well, they did trade for Corbin Burns,
right. Well,
which
that,
was
yeah.
a colossal acquisition. Sure. Remember, John Means came up at the end of 23, was pitching brilliantly. He's throwing a no-hitter into the seventh inning against Cleveland. And was going to pitch game three of the ALDS against the Rangers, but that, I was there. On that Saturday when Hyde said, hey, Means is not on the playoff roster, forearm discomfort, so him being announced as a slow recovery, not surprising. The Kyle Bradish one was the right hand of the temple. Because now you're already putting your eggs or your connecting dots. Oh, we got Burns, we got Bradish, we got Grayson. Look at this rotation, Kramer. They're going to be throwing out there, and then Elias is like, "Hey, everybody, how you doing? Kyle Bradish had PRP, and he's got a UCL, and we'll see him in like May." And then he came back and was throwing like high. I think the last pitch he threw was like 98 miles an hour, and then had the Tommy John surgery. So expecting to see him at all in 25 would be a bonus. And expecting him to be what he was, which was a top four Cy Young guy in 23, I think is fantasy land stuff. But if we're predicting who the injured guy would be, I'm leaning Mateo's not going to be ready at the start of the season.
We kind of already know that.
Yeah, but who, what surprise guy? I don't think we're connecting dots yet there, because you're trying to think, like, who would be the guy? Because Bradish, again, nobody knew he was hurt.
Well, they did, and that's where my issue arises.
Right.
That they knew about.
So you think they're surprising us?
What I'm saying is, the point I was trying to make, they knew about the PRP thing because it happened earlier in the offseason. It's not like it happened
January, I believe, yeah.
Right, so they didn't make any moves accordingly. They should have made the Burns trade either way, because we were celebrating it after it happened. Oh, look at the rotation on paper, that you had Bradish as a two or a three behind Corbin Burns at the time. So if they didn't learn their lesson from last year and not make an effort, a trade, it takes two. I understand that. The other side's got to agree. But even, again, a Nick Pivetta of the world, just somebody that you could say, all right, break glass in case of emergency, they're there. And if no one's injured, hey, maybe we get lucky. Maybe Elias is there tomorrow and says, hey, everyone's good to go. It's still a 162-game season. Injuries are a part of the equation. You can't have the same mistake you did last year.
Yeah, remember, they had too much pitching. And then they all started dropping like flies at one point in time. But we get the Oriole beat reporters on all the time, and they tried to do some inside digging scoop during these caravan things and got nothing. Mm-hmm. Not that he would leak that anyway. I think the news, I could be completely wrong, Nolan. I think the news on Thursday will be more optimistic than it was last year, where it was kind of bombshell stuff. Unless Grayson's still kind of struggling a little bit.
It might be hard to beat last year. We'll say that. That's a high bar to clear.
Well, at least you got your pessimism at the midseason form already.
I would call it realism.
There you go. Funhouse?
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with football. Texter here says, in light of all these star players asking for trades, maybe take a second to hope and pray that no Ravens players start chirping about their status. A couple of years ago, at the Hollywood Brown incident, Orlando Brown Jr. asked out, even Dobbins at one point. After that playoff loss, the frustration. I'm tired of these guys trying to leverage their way off of good teams.
Yeah, I don't see anybody for the Ravens wanting to get out. You know, offensively, no. Defensively, I don't see anybody that would be that kind of guy. I don't see.
Yeah, who's disgruntled?
Yeah, Marcus Williams.
Well, I think that's more their disgruntled with him thing right now.
And the grass is not always greener if you're a Hollywood Brown. Orlando got his money,
yeah,
I guess, but situation-wise,
Hollywood's going to be on what, his fourth team this year?
Mm-hmm. He's free agent?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So what? Ravens, Arizona, KC.
Yeah.
Hmm? And Zay Flowers is a stud.
Yes. And Lindebaum's the Pro Bowl.
He's awesome.
Little fallout from the Super Bowl here. This texter says the quarterback rankings debate that has come out since Hurts finally won a Lombardi is kind of funny to me. To put him ahead of guys like Lamar, Allen, or Burrow, it's just plain wrong. Just because he has a Lombardi, it's a quick reaction from fans who can't think beyond rings.
Oh, no question. I mean, I wouldn't even, that wouldn't even be in the same breath for me of putting Jalen Hurts, you know, who would you rather have, Hurts or Lamar? Lamar, 100 out of 100. You know, Josh Allen, same thing.
And one last one here from Chris, trying to take a little blueprint from the Eagles. What did they do to win it all that the Ravens could copy? Chris pointing out here the Eagles very corner heavy in last year's draft, grabbing the number one and number three corners, giving them three studs at the position. Secondary was huge for them this year. Meanwhile, the Ravens could argue one of their weaknesses was the secondary.
Yeah, for at least at the beginning of the year, it was. But I still think it was the defensive front for the Eagles. I think Kevin Ostreicher, I think it was Kevin, was talking about their depth, that they could just keep rolling dudes through, and you didn't even, you know, like 90, 98, 93. I mean, there was a bunch of them.
Yeah, well, Bill Bender yesterday, have drafting Georgia guys.
Yeah.
Kind of panned out for Philadelphia. But as usual, Ravens go into a season and they do the position rankings. Wasn't the Ravens secondary rated number one?
Yes.
Because Brandon Stevens coming off his breakout season.
Best safeties in the league.
Oh, boy, did that. They kind of that one.
The only one who, like, was Marlon Humphrey was, like, above and beyond.
Because Hamilton even got off to a slow start.
Yes, he did.
Then he became Hamilton. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, get up on lunch, feed you some football. Saints have a new coach. Not a stunning turn of events because the news has been kind of percolating for a couple of days. But if you were going to improve the Ravens in one particular area to get over that hump, what would it be?
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Cook up a special dinner with USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone in for $7.99 per pound. And for that special someone on Valentine's Day, Debbie Lilly Design Dozen Roses for $24.99. Large pack of 2-pound strawberries or 18-ounce blueberries, $4.99 each. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.